Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You may be seated. In 2014, the Ebola virus hit parts of West Africa and hit them hard. The three countries in West Africa that were especially hard hit by this virus were Liberia, Guinea, and Sierra Leone. The World Health Community and its various countries and leaders put forth a valiant effort to stem the tide of the outbreak of this disease. And as I'm saying that, I can still remember footage of one of the American doctors landing in a hospital in the United States, and the footage was showing him being led into the hospital under guarded conditions to make sure it didn't spread. Naturally, people are rightfully concerned about combating communicable diseases. In a world of free movement and travel, trying to quarantine people is difficult, especially when the person doesn't know they have the disease. Then health officials must work fast to figure out how many people were in contact with the infected person and what type of contact with other people spreads the disease. Well, in our New Testament reading this morning, Christ encounters a leper, someone who had a communicable disease. In ancient times, this meant that in some instances, a person who became a leper had the condition permanently. They were quarantined leper colonies located outside a town or village or city to keep them away from the public. Lepers were cut off, therefore, from the social and religious life of their people and the country in which they lived. This man had a contagious disease, and under Old Testament law, a leper was quarantined as long as he had the disease. And if you happened to get near this leper colony, they were to cry out, "Leper, leper, leper," to warn you, stay away. There were specific regulations in the book of Leviticus for certifying that a person who had leprosy, and laws to certify that the person had been cured of his leprosy so he could re-enter the community at large. Under the law of Moses, certain skin diseases made a person ceremonially unclean, excluding him from communal life. So this morning, I want to walk through this narrative really in three stages. The first stage is the leper comes to Christ with an urgent plea for healing. This leper had heard that Christ was healing people who were sick, and he trusted that Christ had the power and the authority to heal him. So he came to Jesus with boldness and this urgent plea. I am struck for the leper's faith in the Lord. Ordinarily, as I just said, lepers would stay away from human contact. And if someone came near them, they were to warn them with that chant of what they had. This man had lost his normal inhibitions and is bold in approaching the Lord. Remember, he's not supposed to come to people. And here he comes to the Lord. Mark 1:40 says, as a leper approached the Lord Jesus, he came to Jesus beseeching him and falling on his knees before him. This man is taking a risk. You would think that a number of people could have warned the leper to stay away, get lost. After all, the threat of infecting people was a very legitimate concern. People could have told him, go away and don't you ever come back. What in the world are you thinking? But none of these fears or concerns stopped the leper from coming to Jesus, pleading for healing. Notice also his statement and request in Mark 1:40, where the leper says to Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean. The man has no doubt whether Jesus has the power to heal him. That is a given in the leper's mind and heart. By this statement, he clearly believes Christ has the power to heal him. His only concern is whether Christ is willing to heal him. and to make him clean. This man seemingly had no contact with other people, so it makes us wonder how much he heard about Jesus. If he lived in isolation, he heard about Jesus as teacher and one who had healed many people, and he came believing and pleading for the Lord to heal him. In the next stage, we come to the miracle of Jesus cleansing this leper of his leprosy. Our Lord was moved with compassion for this man. Mark 1:41 and 42 says this: "Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed." The Lord Jesus was moved with compassion for this man. We may feel sorry for someone suffering, but we are powerless to do anything about it, and our hands are tied. While no one wants to see a loved one suffer, Jesus, as the divine Son of God, not only felt sorry for this man, but he was able to do something about this man's condition, namely heal him. I think there is a link in this passage between the cleansing of this leper and Jesus casting out demons in the beginning of this passage in Mark 1:39. The link between these two activities of our Lord is that in both instances, the Lord cleanses and delivers the suffering of the people involved. For instance, in Mark 1, verses 21 and 27, the person possessed by demons is referred to by Mark as having an unclean spirit. And Jesus cleanses the person who has an unclean spirit by casting the demonic spirit out of him. The leper who is unclean is delivered of his leprosy as Jesus heals him, and Jesus expels the leprosy from him. Both conditions, spiritually unclean, physically unclean, Jesus has the authority to do it by the word of his mouth and by touching him, and the person is cleansed. In both instances, Jesus, by his almighty, powerful word and touch, heals the person, and their uncleanness vanishes immediately. This instantaneous healing by the Lord is truly a miracle, showing that the kingdom of God has come through God's Son, the Messiah. This King, this anointed one, has power and authority to do that, displaying and verifying his divinity. While leprosy was an infirmity of the body and demon possession was a spiritual infirmity, Jesus, the great physician, heals both people by cleansing them of their different afflictions. All of humanity suffers sickness and uncleanness in our bodies and souls, and we need to look to the Lord Jesus as the great physician and trust in him. Christ cleanses this man of leprosy, also reminds us that through trusting in Christ, we are cleansed of our sins. St. John tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In trusting in Christ as our great physician and healer, we must trust in the Lord to heal us in his time. For instance, God doesn't always heal us of our physical sickness in this life. And in fact, the spiritual infection of sin dogs us until our final breath in this life. But we need to put our whole trust and confidence in the Lord Jesus. Our total and final healing of both body and soul will occur for God's people in the new heavens and the new earth of God's eternal kingdom. But we must trust in Christ, in his power, and in his time. As Jesus brings us to my third stage in this narrative, as Jesus heals the man who had leprosy, he charged the leper to do two things. First, tell no one what happened. You know how hard it is for people to keep a secret. You won't tell anyone, will you? Please keep this promise to yourself. Well, the other person says, no, I won't tell a soul. And somehow the secret slips away and becomes public knowledge. Here, Jesus sternly warns the man healed of leprosy, tell no one. When Jesus cured a blind man, the blind man could see. When Jesus healed a crippled person, they immediately walked. But if someone who had leprosy showed up in his hometown claiming to be healed, people would be suspicious. Plus, there is an additional factor that this man who once had a communicable disease could still be contagious if they weren't totally healed of it. So perhaps this is why the man who had leprosy felt he needed to say something as people started questioning him. Although our Lord told him to tell no one, he did just the opposite. He began to proclaim it freely, and many people heard about his healing. There would come a time when it was the right and fitting time to spread the gospel of the Lord to the four corners of the earth. But for the time being, our Lord told this man to be silent about what had happened. No doubt it would have been hard for this man to follow this command, but he was responsible to hear and obey the Lord's command and be quiet, and he didn't. The man who was healed didn't obey the Lord's command, and there were immediate consequences to the fact that he didn't keep this matter to himself. And that consequence was the Lord Jesus was not able to enter a city because there was such a mob of people waiting to see him. And as we've already read, people from various villages came out accompanied by someone who was sick, someone who was demon-possessed or had some infirmity, and they wanted the Lord to heal him. So Jesus' freedom of travel was hindered in part because this man didn't keep the matter to himself. For a time, Jesus stayed in the wilderness and unpopulated areas, and yet still the crowds came out to see him from every direction. This man's disobedience to the Lord's command to keep quiet about his healing impacted our Lord's ministry. Another thing that the Lord told this man is that he told him to go show himself to the priest, which is given in the law of God to Moses to certify this healing. The law of Moses and its regulations could only certify disease or health. Jesus displayed the power to heal, effecting a release on the verdict of a law that a person with leprosy was no longer unclean. The leper needed to keep the command of Moses not in order to be clean, but in order to be verified as being clean and no longer infected by leprosy. Although touching the leper was a violation of the laws of ritual purity, Jesus did so as he healed him. Jesus saw the man's need of being cleansed as a higher priority than the ritual laws to stay away from unclean people. Jesus does command the man to observe the law of Moses. In touching the leper, Jesus himself did not become unclean, but the moment he touched him, he healed the leper. This teaches us the very important truth that as God, Jesus came among us and touched people's lives without himself being contaminated and infected by sin. He dwelt among sinners and yet was not infected by our wickedness. He took our sins upon himself, as the apostle says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." As Jesus cleanses the leper, he is again showing us that he has authority and power to undo and release someone from the effects of sin and evil. The miracle foreshadows the great work of our Lord in redeeming us, setting us free from both sin and its consequences upon our souls and bodies. May we trust in Christ as Lord, as Redeemer, and as the great physician. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, we thank you for this portion of your word, which reveals the healing power of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Strengthen us to firmly trust in your Son for the healing of the infirmities of our souls and bodies, and to always trust in your unfailing love for your children. These things we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us